The fish fry is officially October the 9th. October the 9th, 5 o'clock. Okay. That's 2 weeks from today. All right. Now you have a prayer list, and it is today's prayer list, although it says September 18th. That's just to see if you were looking. But anyway, the only really new item on there is Freddie Orange being diagnosed with cancer. And they'll be doing more diagnosis in the future, but right now that's as far as they've gotten. I think he is supposed to come home today, if I'm not mistaken. And then an update on Marianne Kirby. She is moving to the Willows in Harrisburg, Willows Nursing Home. So she's still very weak. She still has COVID and still needs your prayers. So keep her in mind too. I figured everybody knew Harold was here, but I should mention it. Yes, because we are, we've prayed and prayed for you, Harold, and I'm just glad you're here. Good to see you, and glad you brought so many of your folks with you. It's good to see you. It's good to see you up and walking around. That's great. We do have a guest speaker this morning, and I'll introduce him in a little while. But he's from Gideon's International, and I think you're pretty familiar with their work. They come and talk to us every year. But we will be taking a separate offering for the Gideons at the door as you leave. And if you go out this way, you have to go back there first and then come up. But they get in office will be at that back door. Whatever happened to dinner time? When the family would gather around the table in the evening for dinner, everybody there. We talk about what we did during the day, and we laugh, sometimes maybe even cry. But we were bonded together as a family. Remember that? When we come to the Lord's table, we're a family. Husbands and wives, and widows and widowers, and single people and teenagers and children. But we're a family. We're bound together by the fact that we're all sinners. We look back not to what we did during the day, but we look back to what Jesus did on Calvary. We're bonded together by our need for forgiveness and by the fact that Jesus gave His life to pay for our sins. We eat a little bit of bread in remembrance of the body He gave for us. We sip the juice in remembrance of His blood, which alone can wash away our sins. It's a bittersweet celebration as we recall what it cost Jesus and what joyful hope it brings to us.
Psalm 436, I gave my life for this, what Jesus did for all. 436. Take this bread and this cup which represents your broken body and your blood shed on the Calvary's cross for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you. Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this glorious day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you have provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you join me in singing number 561, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart?
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for which long I had sought, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. I have, oh my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus
And then number 467 is a happy song, When We All Get to Heaven. Let's sing number 467. Thank you. Number 382 is our prayer hymn, and let's sing just the first verse as we stand together and join in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, praise be to your name. All week long we're consumed by our business and our needs. And even as we gather here, the voices of the world threaten to drown you out, but we've come together to lift you up, to bless your name, to give you our gratitude, and to hear your voice speak to us through your word. This is all about you, Father. Not about us. We know we'll be blessed by honoring you and by opening our hearts to your Spirit. But we're here to worship you. But still, we pray for your forgiveness, knowing that your grace is far greater than our sins. We ask you to help us grow in the likeness of Christ, who gave himself to rescue us from our sins. We thank you for his sacrifice. And we thank you for the written word, which leads us to redemption. This morning we pray you will bless all those who spread the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. We ask that your hand will be upon Brother Doughty today, as he tells us how one dedicated group commits themselves to delivering your word to as many hungry souls as they possibly can. Help us to share in their mission. And accept our worship today, Lord, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. I'm debating right now whether I should try to sing this song or not. But I guess I'll try, and I hope you'll be generous as you listen. It's a song that, it's an old song I used to sing years ago when my wife would accompany me. And I think it's appropriate for today. And I even have my wife to accompany me because she recorded this one along with a few others back around 1980. So let me share this song with you. But before that, let me introduce our speaker, Brother Joe Dowdy, representing the Gideons International. And he's going to tell you about the Gideons, but I expect you already know that they are committed to delivering the scriptures wherever they can. And they do this at their own expense. There's a scripture I wanted to read in introducing him. It's in 2 Corinthians 2:17. The Apostle Paul is speaking. He says, "Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." And I want to tell you, the Gideons do not peddle the word of God for profit. They do it at their own expense. They're not paid for the things they do, but they do a lot of things. And because they believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, and everybody needs to hear it. So I know that God will bless Joe as he speaks to us this morning. Let me share this song with you and then I'll get out of the way. Thank you.
Richard lived in Jerusalem. He grew up in a very traditional Jewish family. That meant he never really had an opportunity to read a Bible. He knew they existed, but he simply never had one. The family never had one. Well, at 29 years of age, he found himself in a hospital. While he was in there, he got a little nosy, so he looked at the table alongside the hospital, opened the drawer, and he found there that the local Gideons had placed a Bible there. Well, Richard had it in his mind. He knew what he was going to do. So when he when he left the hospital, he stole the Bible, and he made it a point to tell everybody that he stole it. But when Richard got home, he opened that Bible. He started to read it. He said as he opened and started reading in Genesis, the words on the page just lifted off. And he said he knew immediately he was experiencing God's tremendous love for him. As he continued reading through the Old Testament, he said God's love was just like a huge ocean wave beating against his chest. He just couldn't stand it, tears flowing down his eyes. He got into the New Testament, and before he finished four Gospels, he said he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. At that point, he was on his knees, tears flowing down his cheeks, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. As soon as he did that, he said he heard Jesus talk to him. He said, "Feed my sheep." Richard did that for the rest of his life. So Richard said he knew at that moment in time that he would forever belong to Jesus, but he said he also knew Jesus would always be a part of him. Marcelo lived in Guayaquil, Ecuador. He worked for a local group of people that not necessarily the most trustworthy people in the world. He was also a member of a gang, carried a gun, pretty ruthless character. His mother also lived there in Guayaquil. She was a second grade school teacher. She said one day, some of the local Gideons had visited that school, and they were passing out New Testaments to the children in the fifth grade and above. And she said, as customary, they would always give a testament to the teachers. Well, she was Catholic. She said, "I don't need this thing." But she said she looked at it, and she saw the cover, and she saw the leather-like structure of the cover, the gold lettering on it, and the color of it. She said, "I'm going to take that." And she did take it, because she knew right away she was going to give it to her son. So she knew and understood what her son was doing and kind of a dangerous life he was living. Well, next time her son came to visit her, she handed him this testament. She said some local folks came and passed these out in our school today. She said it's God's word and it will protect you. Well, obviously Marcelo understood his life also, and he looked at it and very promptly stuck it in his back pocket. Now, Marcelo was very trustworthy. He kept it in his back pocket. Whenever he changed his clothes, he made sure he took that scripture out and put it in his new pants. And he also made sure he didn't wash them in the washer. Well, one day, the folks he worked for gave him a holler and said, "Marcelo," said, "we got a guy here who hasn't paid his money for protection." He said, "I want you to go and collect it." Marcelo said, "Okay." So he gave the guy a call. Told him who he was, told him what he was going to do. He said, "I'm going to come by tomorrow and pick up this money." And he says, "Oh, by the way, Marcelo told him very clearly, if you don't have it, I'm going to kill you." Well, this obviously got the guy's attention. The guy called the local police and had what they would call a restraining order placed against Marcelo. True to form, Marcelo showed up the next morning. Police were there to meet him. As they were talking with him, they discovered that he had a gun, an illegal firearm. So they arrested him right on the spot. They also frisked him and found that little pocket testament in his back pocket. The officer looked at it. He opened it, and he kind of scrolled through it to make sure there wasn't anything in it, and he promptly handed it back to Marcelo. Now, he didn't understand this. He said, "There's something going on here," so it obviously got his attention. When he was in jail, he decided to find out a little bit more, so he pulled that little pocket testament out, and he started to read it, and he was reading the New Testament. It wasn't long before he was down on his knees, tears flowing down his eyes. He didn't quite understand everything he was reading, though. The folks in the jail cell with him looked at this guy, and they couldn't understand what was going on here. They knew this person. They knew how ruthless he was. And to see him on his knees with tears coming down his eyes was something they were not accustomed to. In any event, because of his connections, bail was posted for him. So the next day he was out, and everybody said, "Well, you know, Marcelo's going to go get this guy that got him arrested, and he's going to take care of him." But that's not what Marcelo did. Jesus had planted a seed in his heart. And when he got out, he went to a local church. And he said, "Pastor," he says, "I want you to tell me about this Jesus that I just read about." And that pastor did. Marcelo accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior at that point in time. And it was a good take. He was baptized in the church, became very active in all the activities that the church was doing. He also went a step further, used his own money. He set up a Christian radio station in the community. And he also went one step further beyond that. Yeah, he worked with the local legal councils and provided free legal service to all the Christian people in the community. Marcelo did well, but his last battle he didn't win, and Marcelo succumbed to cancer. The writers of these testimonies share a couple of things with us, and I'll share with you. First and foremost, Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it." In both of these cases, that's happened. God's word didn't come back empty. Things happened. People's lives were changed. Also shares another thought with us. In both of these situations, in Jerusalem and also in Ecuador, as well as right here in Jessamine County, Kentucky, there are men who have been, and women who have been called to do God's work, and they're going out and doing it. They're placing his word in the highways and byways of life that directly impact people. As a matter of fact, we're all the same. The only difference between myself, somebody in Jerusalem, somebody in Ecuador is the language we speak. Okay, the rest of us are the same. We're all Christian business or professional men and are wise if they choose to be a part of it. We all have personal relationships with Jesus. We're all members in good standing of a local church. And yes, Pastor, we've all been recommended by our pastors to be in the association. We're living out the vision that God had given to our founders, Mr. Hill and Mr. Nicholson, in 1898, as they found themselves in a chance meeting, sharing accommodations just outside of Janesville, Wisconsin. During their prayer time and the scripture reading time, the Lord laid the same vision on both of their hearts. He wanted them to share his word with the local community, with the business people that were traveling. And of course, you've got to go back 120-some-odd years. Businessmen who traveled at those times were subject to an awful lot of temptation, and God wanted his word to be put there. From that humble beginning to today, there are just under 250,000 Gideon and Auxiliary worldwide. There are over 12,000 camps around the world. Again, one right here being in Jessamine County, and in fact, 120 actually being in the state of Kentucky. He's blessed us with being, or at least being able to get into over 200 countries, territories, and possessions around the world. He's allowed us to print his word in over 108 languages. Can you imagine that? 108 languages. The last and most newest translation was a dialect from India. I think it's northwestern India, where the Hui people can now read about Jesus in their own language. There's about 600,000 of them there. That's amazing, folks. This is truly amazing. He's blessed us and allowed us to distribute over 2.4 billion copies of his word worldwide. Last year, over 49 million copies of God's word were distributed around the world despite COVID. You know, the world activities are opening. We have scripture blitzes again, massive distributions in Mexico, Uganda, New Guinea, and in Africa. We have conventions. We just had our state convention in Kentucky last weekend, which was marvelously attended, and it was a wonderful time. We have folks traveling in different countries of the world, from Africa, South America, and Europe, and the Pacific Islands. God is not dead. He is alive, and he's very active in the ministry. It'd be wrong if I'd sat up here and I didn't tell you about Ukraine. Now, Ukraine, when it broke off from the Soviet Union in 1989, the Gideons were able to get into the country. And from that time until the war, there's over 211 Gideon camps had been established in the country of Ukraine. There are roughly about 2,000 Gideon and auxiliary members in the country of Ukraine. Over 46 million copies of his word had been distributed in the Ukraine from 1989 until the beginning of the war. Now, because of the situation in Ukraine, the Gideons have something that they call an emergency scripture distribution, and this is where they have the Gideons in the local countries will provide all of the refugees with free testaments, and they share a time of prayer with them as they work through the difficulties in their life. Now, you have to understand, we did that here in Kentucky also, in Mayfield, and also in eastern Kentucky with the floods. There were free their local Gideons, had their testaments, and they were providing free testaments to the folks who had been displaced, and they were also praying with them to try to help them through the difficult times in their lives. Brother Bill lived in Alabama. My brother Bill found himself in New York City, and while he was in New York City on a scripture distribution, he was assigned to an area around Times Square. He was on Fifth Avenue, actually. That's where the ball drops, if you see it on TV. Tangelo and Andrew were sitting on some steps. So he approached them, and he asked them, would you like to have a personal worker testament? And the boys said, yeah. They accepted them freely. So Bill said he was prompted by the Holy Spirit. So he said, in the front of the testaments, there's a set of helps. If you ever have a bad day, you can go there, you can read it, it'll point you back to Scripture, and you and God can sit down and have a conversation. He said, in the back, there's a place for you to make a commitment to Jesus if you choose to do that. So he said he felt prompted by the Spirit to go a little further. So he said, fellas, he said, you think God's going to let you into heaven? And the boys were sitting there, you know, they were grinning like, you know, the sheepish little boys grin. And they said, yeah. Well, Bill said, well, how do you know? Boy said, well, we're good guys and we do good things. Bill said, okay, shook his head. He says, you know, God has a test. He says, it's called the Ten Commandments. He says, would you guys like to work through a couple of these questions? And the boy said, yeah. So he said, okay. He said, you guys ever told a lie? The boy looked at each other, grinning, smiling, and said, yeah. So Bill said, well, what does that make you? The boy said, well, a sinner. And Bill said, yeah, but more so it makes you a liar. Okay. He said, you guys ever steal anything? You know, again, the boys kind of looked at each other, grinned just a little bit, and getting a little uncomfortable, but still grinning. And so Bill said, what's that make you? And they said, a thief. Bill said, yeah. And Bill looked at him very seriously and said, fellas, he said, Jesus says, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, it's the same thing as committing adultery. He said, you fellas ever done that? The boys were honest. And they said, yes. So Bill looked at him and said, fellas, he said, I've asked you three questions, and you've fallen short on all three questions. He said, what do you think? Do you think God's still going to let you into heaven? The boys weren't smiling so much anymore. They looked at him, and they kind of agreed that they had a problem. Bill said, fellas, it's not over. He said, I want you to do something for me. He said, go to the back of your text. I want you to read Romans 6:23, which is printed in there. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he went on to explain to him that the death was a separation from God for eternity, which was a terribly long time, but that God had provided a mechanism for them to be saved. He said, now I want you to go over and I want you to read from Romans 10. He said, the 13th verse, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, yes, those boys. Said, you guys ever call on the name of the Lord? The boy said, no, they hadn't. He said, would you like to do that now? And the boy said, yeah. And they prayed the most humblest, sincere sinner's prayer that you could imagine. And they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, Bill has asked us to pray for these fellas. They live in New York City. There's a lot of temptation up there, and you know that. You don't need me to tell you. I shared these testimonies with you again for a variety of reasons. Another reason is that this church has participated in this association. Folks, these are your testimonies. You have a direct responsibility in the offerings and in the prayers that you give to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So you may be asking yourself, well, is there more we can do? And I would ask you to pray. Pray for us. But I would say don't just pray for the Gideons. You need to pray for those folks that receive those testaments, that they'll open them, that they'll read them, and they'll allow the Holy Spirit to touch their lives and allow them to join us in the future when we all get to heaven. You know, if these testimonies are touching your heart, if you're a professional person, or if you're a person, or if you're a business person, if you're military, E5 and above, or retired from any of these positions, and the Lord's touching your heart, and you want to be a part of something that's bigger than yourself, I'll be glad to talk to you after the service. We also have something called the Friends of the Gideons, and I have brochures on that, and I'll share that with you. We also have something called a Living Memorial Bible Plan, and that's just simply where you can adjust your wills to leave a donation to the Gideons when you pass on and go to heaven. If you're interested in that, I would just direct you to go to Gideons.org. That's Gideons.org. And it's pretty clear as to what you can do. You might be asking how you might support us. I know in the past you've had a Gideon card rack in your church, and I would encourage you to use those Gideon cards. They're good for in memory and honor and recognition. It's a great thing. It's a great gift for people who have everything, and I have everything, so I enjoy seeing stuff like that. I've never run across an individual anywhere that didn't appreciate somebody thought enough of them to dedicate Bibles in their name for a particular cause, wherever it may be. There's an insert that you guys have that's pretty much self-explanatory. Your pastor has allowed me to stand at the door with an open Bible. And if you want to make a direct monetary contribution, you can place it in the Bible. Folks, let me share with you, every dollar you give goes to the purchase and the distribution of these Bibles. The administrative costs of this association are paid for by my dues, or all of the members' dues, and any bequests we make to the association when we pass on. Let me share a couple other things with you. For $1.56, the Gideons can print a little pocket testament and have it shipped anywhere around the world. That's a miracle in itself, folks, when you think about what has to happen to make that happen. But let me share something else with you. 1 in 4 people on the large distributions that we do will not get a testament. And they won't get a testament because the resources aren't there to supply them. You know, in America, we don't think too much about stuff like that. We have so much, and we're blessed with so many things. But when you go to some of these countries, that little pocket testament may be one of the few things a person actually owns. You can say, this is mine. You know, not only that, if you go to a country like China, and you look at these testaments in the back where people have made a commitment to Jesus, you don't just find one signature. You find 3 or 4. Person A read it, made his commitment, gave it to another family member who read it, made their commitment, who gave it to another family member. Just think about that, folks, is all I ask. Let me share with you also that 35 cents out of every dollar you give stays right here in Jessamine County. That allows us to buy scriptures. And we do that. We have distributions locally. We do them at the county fair. There's Treats on Main in Nicholasville. There's also another event in Nicholasville where we're going to have a booth where we'll pass them out. And you have to know and understand that at the end of our fiscal year, any scripture receipts in excess of $500 are pulled back into headquarters and are used to buy scriptures. The $500 are our seed money to buy scriptures before our scripture receipts are built up through church services. Again, I just take the opportunity, Pastor. I'm very appreciative to speak in your church. I told you earlier that you'll be on my prayer list, and I will pray for you until God tells me not to pray for you. I pray for you, your family, and your church, and all that you've done for this association. May God bless you.
We appreciate hearing good news, and distributing God's word is always good news, and we appreciate it. And it's always good to hear about it. Excuse me. You see, I got froze up while you were talking. Let's turn to our invitation hymn, which is number 451 in your hymn book. Number 451. And stand together while we sing. If there's a need in your heart to claim Jesus as your Lord, then this is the time we invite you to step out and make your faith public. Just the first and last verses. Number 451.
Thank you.
Joe says he's going to be praying for us, I think in all kindness we ought to return that favor and pray for him and for the work of the Gideons everywhere, because they're doing part of our work. They're spreading the word of God. So let's if you can be generous in your offering as you leave this morning, I know he would appreciate that too. Let me remind you, this is National Chicken Month. It's also National Coupon Month. So if you have a coupon for a chicken, you're in good shape, I think. It's National Comic Book Day. It's National Lobster Day. And it's National Beach Day. So enjoy whatever of those that you want to. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for calling us together to honor you, to hear this amazing report of how the Gideons carry your word wherever they can. We ask you to bless their efforts and bring forth fruit abundantly in the lives of those whom they reach. We know your word has the power to change lives for Jesus. As we separate now, we ask for your Spirit to live within us so that others may come to love Jesus as he loves them. And we pray all this in his blessed name. Amen.